From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, is our portion for study this week. The theme is Christ, the friend of sinners, the one who brings a joyous newness into the lives of those whom He saves. That's before us in the program, so stay with us as in a few minutes we look into the Word of God together. Stay with us now as we turn to our hot topic for today, the real hate crime, hatred of evangelicals. A couple of years ago, a professor at Missouri State University set an assignment for his students to write letters to state legislators advocating the right of homosexual pairs to adopt children. An evangelical student refused to write such a letter because it was against her Christian beliefs. As a result, she was hauled before a faculty panel on a charge of discriminating against homosexuals. And this is the depth of madness to which this nation's intelligentsia has sunk. According to the perverted logic of the pro-sodomite lobby, any unwillingness to support their agenda is an act of discrimination. You have the right to choose to give support to or withhold support from a political party, a church, a business, or even an ethnic group. But in the topsy-turvy world of so-called homosexual rights, you have no such right. Thus, when young evangelicals arrive at state universities, they should be ready for bruising battles. According to reports by sociologists from Harvard and George Mason universities, a majority of university professors take a dim view of evangelicals. In studies that were intended to see if there were any anti-Semitic views among college teachers, they discovered that while professors held positive views of Jews, Roman Catholics, Hindus, and peoples of just about all other religions, they confessed holding unfavorable feelings toward evangelicals. The only other group to come in for such opprobrium was the Mormons. Now, while congressmen are crazily trying to convert such actions as the refusal of the Missouri State student into a hate crime, they are blissfully unconcerned about the real hate crime that's perpetrated day and daily in the nation's schools, the hate crime that targets evangelicals. "Oh no," cry the evangelical bashing professors, "this has nothing to do with religion. It's our revulsion against the support many evangelicals give to the Republican Party and against the anti-scientific bias of those who believe the biblical story of creation." To which I say, rubbish. Any university professor who resents the evangelicals who enter his classroom because some evangelicals support a political party he doesn't support is unfit for the job. He doesn't have the objectivity to be a professor. And anybody who tells us that resentment against Bible believers because they believe the Bible has nothing to do with religion is guilty of either lying or lunacy. So college-bound evangelicals should either enroll in a Christian school or get ready for battle. In state schools, they've become victims of the kind of hate crime that few people care about. And how do they prepare? That's a big question with no brief answer. For a start, evangelical churches would do well to remember that their job is to feed the sheep, not to entertain the goats. Only one who is well grounded in the faith of the gospel will be able to endure providing target practice for the hate criminals of higher education.
Be thou my witness, O Lord of my heart. Cross me on and through me, save that thou art. O my best hope, my faith on my mind. Break me for sleeping, thy presence my light.
Be thou my wisdom, thou my true one. I ever with thee, thou with me, Lord. Thou my redeemer, I thy true son.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're grateful to you for tuning our way. We're constantly encouraged by the letters and the emails and the telephone calls that we have received from our listeners. But you know, I'm sure there are many of you out there who have often said, you know, I'd really need to be in touch with them, let them know that I'm listening in and God has blessed His Word to my heart. Well, I hope that you'll take the opportunity to make up for that omission and get in touch today. Let me assure you that here at Let the Bible Speak, we never beg for your support. We never make an offer that's really just a cover for asking you for something. We all know that there are many, many programs and they say, we're sending you this, we'll give you that, and then they inundate you with begging letters. We will never do that, nor will we ever pass on your personal information to anyone else. So I trust you'll feel free to get in touch. Don't forget our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, which you may have simply by asking. Or don't forget our Plain Man's Guide to God's Way of Salvation and Assurance. We call it A New Beginning. And you may also have that simply by asking. So I trust you'll be in touch and that we'll be hearing from you today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may telephone us, toll free, 1-866-877-5827, 866-877-LTBS. Or, of course, you may email us at LTBS@freepres.org. So there are various ways for you to get in touch. I trust that you'll make use of one of them today and that we will be hearing from you.
Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free. A heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love.
When the Lord Jesus Christ called Matthew the publican and saved him, the ex-tax collector at once became an avid witness for Christ, his Savior. You see, whom the Lord loves and saves, he causes to love him in return. So today we pick up the message at the point where we emphasize that Matthew's initial effort to reach the lost for Christ teaches us that we must always make Christ himself the focus of our testimony and our witness. Matthew was so entranced with Christ. He was so taken up with Christ. His own heart was so full of Christ. That's what drove him. And that's what Paul witnesses to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 when he says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ motivates us. The love of Christ moves us. He loves us, we love him, and that's what sets us going. Men and women, I tell you, Christ must be the focus of our witness if he loves us and therefore we love him. The focus of our witness. The witness of God's people is not to tell how bad you've been, unless by acknowledging that you show how good Christ is. The witness of God's people does not focus on themselves. It is not to make people go out and say, "What a wonderful person that is," but it's to make people fall before the Savior and say, "What a wonderful Savior Jesus is." He's the focus of our witness. I don't know, for the Bible doesn't tell me exactly how Matthew got those people in. I suppose there'd be some would come for free food. Well, if it takes free food to get sinners to come and hear the gospel, then let's give them free food. There's nothing new about that, and there's nothing unscriptural about it. But I can well imagine Matthew transformed was a puzzle to the friends that he had had. What has happened to this man? What has happened to him? And I can imagine Matthew saying, as Andrew said to Peter, "Come, come, I have met the Messiah. I have met the Christ. I have met somebody who has forgiven my sins. I have met someone who has cleansed my conscience. I have met someone who has broken the chains. I have met someone who has made me a new creature. And what he's done for me, he can do for you." I can understand Matthew doing that. I've seen sinners do it. Great sinners converted. Religious sinners converted. There's such a change. They go out to make Christ the focus of their witness. Jesus caused him to love him. But you'll see in this that Christ was not only the focus of the witness of his disciples, he was the focus of their unity. There's something that is easy to overlook here. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus called him, "Follow me." But see Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Nathaniel.
the Jew in whom there was no guile. See them all walking along. Matthew falls in line. And he's not only walking with Jesus, but he's walking with them. And here is the centrality of Christ among his people, that they received Matthew. And they were one. There's a miracle happened among the disciples. I preached on this during that series on the disciples. Again, it's easy to overlook. Look at the list. And there you've got Matthew, the publican. And you've got Simon Zelotes, Simon the Zealot. Now, they were polar opposites. Black and white in this country are identical twins compared to those two. Rich and poor are identical twins compared to those two. A tax collector, the man who sold out to the Romans, the zealot, was the so-called freedom fighter. The Romans would have called him a terrorist, who was willing to fight to the death to rid the country of these Romans. And here Jesus saves a Matthew, and then he saves Simon the Zealot, and he brings them together in the unity of the body of his disciples. And what held them together? They were focused on the person of Jesus Christ. That's what held them together. Matthew was no longer a tax collector. Simon was no longer a zealot. They had buried their past. They had buried their politics. They had buried their prejudices. And they were so all taken up with Christ, so entirely fixated upon the glory of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that everything else melted into the background. And I want to tell you, that is real church unity. That's real church unity. If you want to have a church unity where everybody's just going to bow their head and say yes because you happen to say it, then you will never have it. If you want to have a church of clones, I want nothing to do with it, whether the clone is of you or of me. One of you is quite enough, and one of me is more than enough. We don't need a church of clones. God has made us individuals because that's the best way we can operate. None of us has all the gifts. None of us has the precisely perfect personality. And some of us miss it by a whole lot more than others. And when you look in the mirror in the morning, you wonder how you're going to stick yourself for another day. You ever been there? Now we all come together in the body of the Church of Jesus Christ. What is it that holds the church together? What is it that gives us the unity we ought to have? It's when Christ is standing in our own life at the very center of it all, where for me to live is Christ. And then Christ is standing in the middle of the church. And we are all so taken up with Him. We love Him. Then we love each other. And I want to tell you this without any fear of ever being proved wrong. When God's people don't love each other, it's because they have fallen out of love with Christ. Don't tell me your heart is on fire with a love for Christ if it's cold toward God's people. It's impossible. It's impossible. These people were saved by Him who loved them. And they were so taken up, Matthew particularly, so taken up with what Jesus Christ had done for him, that he could love him and call him and save him, that he was one with all the others.
You'll notice this, that he was not only the focus of their witness and their unity, but Christ was the focus of their happiness. They feasted. It was not a worldly party. The world may not even have found it much of a party at all. And a wonderful demonstration of what it is to be a new creature in Christ. I look at what the world thinks as a party, and I just shake my head and say, how on earth can any grown person ever, how can they ever get into that sort of stupidity? That's a party. I cannot understand, and it's not just now because I'm ancient, it was true when I was young. As a Christian, I could not understand, where was the joy in spending your money to see it go up in smoke? I could never see any sense in that. I could never see any enjoyment in that. I could never understand, why was it so wonderful to go out and spend a week's wages to drink yourself, as people did and still do in Ireland, almost with religious regularity. Drink yourself into a stupor and waking up the next day with a head that's as thick as two or three planks, and your children go without. I could never understand that was partying. I have to say that when I look at the Hollywood crowd, I think they're the most pitiable bunch of non-entities in the world. And yet, when the world looks at what I would think of as a feast, to them it would be misery. I suppose the difference is if you have Christ or if you don't. But here, he was the center of their happiness. His presence is what made the feast. He was like a bridegroom, and they, on this occasion, were like the guests at a wedding. Their fellowship was just like one great bridal party. And they were rejoicing constantly in the new relationship that they had with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a happy people. They were feasting because Jesus was there. Now there will be a time for fasting. The Lord Jesus makes that clear. But isn't it obvious that where Jesus is, it's a place of happiness. The joy of the Lord is real. How does Paul speak about the joy of the Lord? He says, first, it's the very essence of the kingdom. It's the very essence of being in the kingdom. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says it's joy unspeakable. That is indescribable. And it's full of glory. Now let me stand back here for a moment and let us say quite honestly, and this is one reason why the charismatic delusion has been able to take off at such a rate. For a very long time in the Christian church, that has been an empty phrase. Joy that is indescribable. Few people here this morning have ever felt that. Others have felt it now and again for a little time. But is there one man among us, and I include myself, who lives in that constant joy where you can say, I'm living in a joy that is beyond description? Yet that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. A joy that is full of glory. Now that makes it a spiritual joy. It's not just a giddiness. And that's where the charismatics so often go wrong. It's not just a giddiness. It's not just some Indian laughter.
Like the infamous Howard Rodney Brown would have his congregations indulge in, roll the floor like animals, laughing like hyenas at nothing, and laughing even at the thought of hell. It's not what it's about. It's full of glory. Glory fixes on Christ. Glory fixes on grace. Glory fixes on heaven. Men and women, let me tell you, God's people are meant to be a people who know glory while they're on earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.